Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. That just feels weird. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and
that's
a
like that Jurassic Park bit, isn't it? That's Triple H, like trampling on our fun. Come with a new podcast intro. You know, because he puts everything. Raw, SmackDown, AEW Rampage, every donor. The fact of the matter is,
each and every one of these podcasts. Where was I?
Interviews. I'm going to call my friend Mark and get on a podcast and complain about it.
Not the number one podcast, but still. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. Daily Wrestling Podcast. As I said, though, joined by the Dudleys to look ahead to AEW Dynamite tonight and a big night, Michael Sidgwick,
in the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions!
I think I should be the voice of this for A-dubs.
I agree. There is a match with Bryan Danielson in it tonight, and it's not the match I'm most looking forward to on Dynamite tonight.
Wow.
I feel like that's a bit of an indictment, actually. But if they get that right after getting it a little bit boring and wrong, then there should be another great Dynamite. Again, a week has passed. These things sort of, we callous them, or they get calloused. I'm not going to head into this with the same kind of uncertainty or terrible vibe that I did last week. So it's just, it could feel a little bit more like normal, I think, but ultimately, I just want... CM Punk deprived me of the battle cry commute pops and buzz of just being able, all right, okay, it's Dominion 2018 again, huge pet. And I listen to battle cry every noon and night until, you know, I get a little bit bored of it. And, you know, I got worked so effectively that I thought, right, Kenny Omega looking like he did in 2020, but no, he's looking like he's the best he has in AEW, quite frankly. And I've been deprived of battle cry because of Phil Brooks, the megalomaniac, and I'm still in a place where I can't forgive the promotion and the man who runs it for allowing this situation to mutate. Because I like CM Punk as well. He's great. He's had an absolutely phenomenal run. I don't get it for the best. So I'm still not going to be in, yes, it's Dynamite tonight, baby, mood because of that.
Yeah, last week's Dynamite was absolutely sensational considering the mood, as Sidgwick alluded to there, going into it. How are you feeling about this week's?
Sort of similar to Sidge, actually. I'm sort like, we're trying to stay consistent with this. I'm choosing to look forward to this episode because of how good it was. I'm not particularly feeling that excited. Maybe if Brian and Jericho's first match had been any good, then I'd be more hyped for the card as a whole. But it sort of feels like they've got to do a job to like quickly rebuild our expectations after the last one. I'm choosing to be excited about this Dynamite. I'm choosing to be optimistic about the Full Gear build because I just cannot put a card together in my head yet. So I'm going to try and enjoy that. I'm going to, rather than AEW, and this there's lots and lots of conversations about where AEW has maybe fallen off a bit in 2022, but this is a big one.
all of the long-term stories that Tony Khan used to be so incredible at telling allowed you to put your A cards together, your B cards together, and your C cards together, and then in, like, to use Nintendo parlance, Tony Khan would have an S tier card that you didn't even see around the corner. That was what was awesome about this. At the moment, like, we've all got A's, B's, and C's, and we don't even know if he's got a D. Now, it's really hard to work out what any of this will look like as they do there. What would traditionally now be the kind of, it's fun, but it's table setting. There's the odd angle, but it's like, you're not, you know, the dynamic stuff's going to come in a couple of weeks' time. This is a totally different pay-per-view cycle. It's typically the shortest one anyway. Is that right, Sitch?
Yes, so it
normally
is,
the smallest, which should help. But because of everything being thrown up in the air, I'm kind of choosing to go into this eyes wide open and excited rather than just feeling it.
And this is a sort of a go-home show ahead of Grand Slam, of course, next week.
Yeah, that as well.
And you tweeted about this, about what was the general consensus when it comes to what people think that the Full Gear big matches are going to be?
MJF versus Danielson. Overwhelmingly so. Overwhelmingly so, which I get. Like, you've got a tournament taking place and a guy that has basically said he's going to cash his chip. That story doesn't exist. So I can't judge it because they haven't yet even needed to tell it. You know, you've got to kind of like take hands off, whereas Mox MJF is now out there in the ether, whereas MJF versus anybody, the prospect of a cash-in, a Money in the Bank adjacent cash-in rather than a straight-up tie match, all these sort of things are things that have been alluded to, and MJF Danielson hasn't. It's just this idea that people believe that he'll win the tournament. So even that, you know, which is an interesting combination because it's not yet out there as a thing. It's not something that you necessarily want to wind yourself up. And because there are no, again, this goes right back to AEW's inception. Previously, there would have been all of these little lines in promos or these little details typically picked up by my esteemed colleague that we would have reminded about 6 months later where it's like, well, now's the time for that title match. And do you remember on the October 12th Dynamite when this line got used? What was the first best, the Jericho MJF one from the very beginning? You were like, here's this promo, MJF and Chris Jericho. And like a year later when they finally revisit it.
Yes.
It's like, you know, there was loads of those.
Yeah.
Like that was what like they were so good with because there was clearly so much like huge, big brain whiteboard thinking. And now it sort of feels like he's done it all. You know that four champions thing he had? My first four champions, blah, blah, blah. What you got next? He'll figure himself out. But throughout the entire promotion. So MJF Danielson could and should be great. It's a really interesting and new and fresh combination for the title. But you kind of need to be shown reasons why it would work before just getting hyped for a match pairing. We might be past the dream match pairing era of AEW, like for a long time. So like this was such a new sandbox that every fresh pairing was exciting. So, like hearing MJF Danielson is cool. That's brand spanking new.
I think it's an incredible prospect, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining that we haven't got a story yet because we haven't got a story yet. In fact, there is so much great stuff happening in AEW right now that I'm in just a constant state of inner conflict with myself because I think with the fact that they don't want to stigmatize Mox as the caretaker champion, I don't think, and the fact that Mox and MJF opened last week's Dynamite as if to telegraph or at least foreshadow the potential Full Gear main event, I think the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions final, if it is indeed Mox versus Danielson, but we'll discuss whether it's going to be imminently, could be the most unpredictable big match in AEW history. There is so much to absolutely love about this. It's just, it still feels in some inescapable way bittersweet to me. Bullseye Dynamite era. And here's what you could have won.
Now, that was there before the Punk thing too, wasn't it? I remember you using that exact analogy, the Bullseye. That was kind of lingering before Punk blew it all up. So it's, I don't know if that's better or worse, that there needed to be a bit of a clearing of the deck somewhat, or like it needed to be said and have like this grand event like the press conference to make you realise this was happening rather than just this nagging feeling that it was already there.
Do you think this has been the kick up the arse that TK needed in terms of pulling the trigger on these big matches?
TK. Shut up, man. That's my thing. TK. For a start.
I know you were calling him TK from 2019.
I was calling him TK. I was calling him the Sugar
long,
Man.
Long Bone Tone and the Sugar Man.
Yeah.
Mid-South Tony.
Mid-South Tony.
All these, because nicknames for promoters are great, aren't they?
When they piss you off. That's all we did it for, me and Murray. That's all we did it for.
So the whole internet
Tony Khan in articles, because putting weird nicknames in articles is very, very weird indeed.
Very weird indeed.
Right. I think that it's still a little bit like risk-averse Tony, right? There's a nickname for you. Because we've seen...
Imagine Twitter going...
risk-averse Tony, or to use the acronym, RAT. Tony RAT.
So there's a bit of that in terms of we've seen various combinations here before, but they haven't been revisited too much, and he's still saving something. So maybe it should be a kick up the arse. In a general sense, the booking patterns need to change. We've been through this across various
They tried on Rampage. Look at that.
The predictable Dax Harwood singles match, while very good, is, you know, he's not that much of a draw. Hence why Kenny Omega should have came back.
Pick better friends, Punk.
Ultimately, the fact that the Jungle Boy Christian Cage thing didn't get paid off and it's been rumbling for well over a year.
What's it going to be out for?
8 months.
Oh, God.
It could go, honestly, longer than Austin versus McMahon if, in fact, these things keep happening. The Bobby Fish Undisputed Elite stuff was rubbish. I called it as rubbish from the start when they were like, we beat Brian Pillman in a 10-man tag. You know what that means? Well, the best super group ever. My God, no, you're not. So that was a complete waste of time. Maybe he's realised that people will leave if they're not happy and top stars need to be placated, i.e. Cody Rhodes. That people might just go a bit mental, like Bobby Fish appears to have done and scorched the earth. CM Punk himself has scorched the earth. People get injured. People get dissatisfied with their creative. He needs to stop pissing about with these 8-month-long best friends versus Kip Sabian and Miro feuds, you know? Maybe he has to realise, right, even before all this drama, and probably even before the injury crisis, ratings had stagnated. They didn't capitalise on the momentum they had this time last year when they were beating Raw on the demo. Hopefully he's going to realise. And you don't want to go to one extreme. There's always some dickhead will go, huh, so you want them to burn through their matches in 2 months, do you? No. That's a straw man. But I am saying,
what is this? NXT on Wednesday?
I just don't want to see CM Punk versus QT Marshall in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, like, as well, we're at the point now.
And I know what? I'm not going to see it because he's an asshole who ruined it for everyone.
Oh, come on, Cutie's all right. Like we were talking about this morning over the desks. AEW's purpose has already been fulfilled in that Dave Meltzer said no one other than WWE are going to sell 10,000 tickets. And now we look at the 10,000 already sold for Arthur Ashe and be like, oh, what's happened to AEW?
Yeah.
Like, that's like the expected. AEW has raised so many bars that it doesn't get enough credit. It goes understated. You know, we lavish praise on AEW and then get called a shill, but whatever. Like, it goes understated how many bars AEW have raised. And that's one of them. But there is a perfectly nuanced conversation to be had that quality has dipped and now ticket sales are proving like objective evidence of that. The beautiful Arthur Ashe was seen as an inspired booking last year because it was both a brand new venue for New York to be able to say we've got that city too, but also to be a new stadium setting that AEW could make its own. Now, WWE had Madison Square Garden as a home base because once a month they would sell it out with this constantly drawing champion. It's really tough to make this your landmark stadium show if once a year you don't have the hot product or the hot match to sell it out. I know they didn't light it up last year, but the dream is every year 20,000 people to send you light that fucker up and it looks incredible.
Not blue.
Not blue. No, yeah, just house lights are fine. It looks incredible.
What was your ranty tweet the other day that really popped me?
Remember when AEW had all the momentum in the world around All Out 2021, which was just dreamlike. Dreamlike. Mm. And then they decided, you know who got it right? Triple H to take over ex-heroes of wrestling. It looked like no one was there. The whole appeal of those 2019 Dynamites was there are loads of people in full view having an amazing time watching arena wrestling that isn't WWE. It blew my mind. And then they thought, all right, okay, let's just make it look like no one's here. You can hear the heat, but it could be piped in for all I know because you can't actually see people having this great immersive bit of fun.
Rafael Nadal is a gorgeous man. But there's absolutely no way that tennis should look better than wrestling in that building.
But there's Bruce Jensen arm.
Yeah. Like bombastic pro wrestling with all its neon and colours and bodies should have looked better than tennis does because tennis looks amazing in that building.
We will get to the matches in a second. Only three have been announced at time of recording. But before we get to that, MJF, we mentioned him a little bit earlier. What would you have him do? Because he's sort of, as Hanfler alluded to there, he's kind of just keep him busy until we know who the Grand Slam tournament, the bare minimum Grand Slam tournament finalists are.
So you asked me what MJF does. Mm. I think he continues to allude to something that I can plug, right? This might not be the preview for it, but I just want to get it out there in case it's kind of made that little bit more obvious. I think MJF should cash in the poker chip a la the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Ooh.
And I know that sounds like a Dan Gauthier take, so bear with me while I flesh it out.
Can you please call it, instead of Money in the Bank, can you call it the chip on his shoulder?
Yeah. Because it's one of those where it's like, that sounds like the stupidest idea I've ever heard. AEW shouldn't even rip off WWE's best ideas as opposed to their worst, which the Money in the Bank has become, because what would the point of being an alternative be? But I think the damage has been done to the title, and no amount of great wrestling can recover that, because no one's beaten the CM Punk. It'll always feel like the second best plan that they had, or the one that they have the second most amount of conviction in. I think they should fictionalize burning that title, and in doing so, create a bigger fictional heel than the real life Phil Brooks, and have MJF commit what was the ultimate transgression by actually taking that contract clause literally of, oh, you know, anytime you want it, you've got it, because I'm desperate to have you back because the AEW fans are missing you, etc., as Tony Khan explained. And I think maybe he will hint to that, because I do think that's a direction, because he dropped that line last week and it really felt like, oh, I should be paying attention to that, because MJF so often drops something in a promo that you should have paid attention to, like the handshake at the very start of the Punk feud, that being rejected, and how horrified he was. That was like, that reminds me of why I got into wrestling, and it was just magnificent. Pay attention to MJF. I paid attention to MJF, and I think they're going to go for the ultimate MJF is a WWE guy device. If this still sounds crazy, you know what you could do? You could hop onto whatculture.com/WWE and you can read my article, Why AEW Must Steal This Hated WWE Idea.
Ooh.
It goes more in depth and it justifies it.
Do you think he's going to reassociate himself with Stokely Hathaway on this show or what? Because it was, they were kind of split up, well, hugely on last week's show. Obviously, I mean, MJF and Mox is a brilliant way to open the show. And then Stokely was just sort of there kicking the ass of, well, he was threatening Schiavone the other week, and now he's beating up security or whatever it was, a production staff.
You know what's a great detail in retrospect? And again, I'm sorry I'm stepping on your dick. Right?
What a very
line.
Good.
Such honestly, a great line.
I wonder if William Shakespeare was like a complete arsehole back in the day, because like having that sort of like grasp of language must have allowed it, because like Punk's, what a wordsmith when he's absolutely like burning promotions
like
to the ground.
David Mamet, man. He's absolutely incredible. You know what's a great detail in retrospect? Scanned as weird at the time. Who is Stokely Hathaway working with?
Jay Cargill.
MJF, clearly.
Because, oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Who has buried MJF for 3 full years, breaking his professionalism to do it? Tony Schiavone in commentary.
Ah.
Stokely Hathaway doing that to Tony Schiavone because of who his new boss is. Do you think AEW's still good. AEW's still good.
Stokely did work with Jade. That was when he met Smart Mark Sterling, and that's how Stokely and MJF were put together, because Smart Mark Sterling was MJF's lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Right. A couple of these little details. I don't know where I stand with this MJF and this stable thing. I thought that I loved last week's Dynamite, and I thought the stable element was the worst thing of it, because it was such a stupid idea. I get that you got to get this new act over. I do, but it was the worst week to do it. I think I said that on the review, right? You fake pro wrestling chaos in the shadow of this real,
yes,
like explosive scene backstage. Just it scanned as fake. It didn't feel real remotely. MJF, the character, was rendered above it all by the way they were laid out on the show. So he comes out and he does this big show opening thing, but they're nowhere near him. And then they come out later on and they're basically robbed of their power and their agency. And MJF, this guy who has loads of power and agency, does nothing to help them. This might sound a bit cake and eat it, but I kind of think MJF should use them when he needs them. So rather than so what we know is that he can't really be arsed them. Try that stable thing. Like, Pinnacle was a bit of a bust. Forget it. But then every now and then he's going to need 7 running buddies, and he's got them at like a moment's notice. And I think that's the kind of snake MJF is. You know, that's going to play in like that whole sort of that video when you're saying about like always watch what MJF's doing. The fact that that was the detail used, like I'm a snake that'll forget, was obviously supposed to feed into something more with CM Punk. But remember the fantasy booking of MJF saying like the idea that MJF wins the title when he's about to go to WWE. And them doing that Ring of Honor bit with him again. Like, all of this could still tie in, and him being this guy that has just kind of used these dorks that now have a purpose can just be this thing that's always there. Like, you might not see them aligned on television now, but they're potentially there if and when MJF requires
it. Yeah, so it's not necessarily MJF stable. MJF is still his own man, but he's got a boatload of money and he can hire Stokely's mercenaries as and when he needs them.
And whether or not that gives like Stokely Hathaway's crew any particular power going forward, we don't know. I don't think it needs a complete reboot. I don't think you need to start again, but it needs to be a more effective version of last week's angle to stand a chance, because there are a lot of, this is not that, there's too many stables in it, I'm so confused, but there are a lot of fairly pointless groups. Mm. There was a lot of feckless dork groups, and these just felt like one of them. Mm. They felt like a harder wingman rather than any kind of like transgressive act. So I think you've got a long way to get that back on track. And maybe this is the week. I don't know. But I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know if it is beating up Tony Schiavone in the way that WWE sort of beating up Jim Ross. You know, like identifying somebody so beloved that it really hurts when a heel does it. I don't quite know what the act is because I don't... This Young Bucks Punk Omega Cloud is going to linger a long time. So Nexus-type decimations of the ringside area and crew members and that, that's going to feel like a nonsense by comparison for quite a while. So I don't really know the...
Punk's ruined a great deal.
Oh,
he's,
yeah,
he's ruined he's blown a up great... Tons. He's blown up so many spots.
Yeah.
Yes? Mm.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, let's talk about this Grand Slam Tournament of Champions. I suppose we should start with a slight...
Switching gears.
Slightly more...
Switching gears to that Australian meme.
I suppose a slightly more obvious result. I don't know. Well, I'll get your thoughts on it, Sige. Chris Jericho, Bryan Danielson. You want to tackle that one first?
Yeah. So my take on this is that Danielson's going to win. Like Jericho Moxley, I'd probably take it again. It was so fantastic. Mm. But I think that Danielson Moxley has just got drama out the ass. And I thought it was the Revolution match in Arthur Ashe, not like 4 hours deep into a night of action, could be even more special than the Revolution, the storytelling in which was just fantastic. So I think Danielson wins. I have reservations about the quality of the match because they had the wrong match too deep into the night where it was like quite methodically paced. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, man. I'm used to a Sting party match to wake me up at this point.
It was a bit for them, wasn't it, rather than for the show?
A bit for them.
Like forgettable.
Mm. So the crack was, apparently, that and Jericho put this over as, you know, Danielson's one of the few guys I can just go out there with and say, right, we've got 20 minutes. Let's just feed off the crowd, man. And, you know, let's just feed off and then just call it. And then they're really like, what can we call, Chris? Because I don't really want anything out of this. I don't know. Let's just... try and counter the walls or something. I don't know.
They could have really copied the NXT match they had and it would have been better.
I know.
A ripper they had on NXT.
My indication here is that they had 23 minutes on pay-per-view with no ad breaks to worry about, no sort of timing cues or being told to bring it home or whatever because there's still loads of time left. I'm expecting a far more disciplined match. It's TV, it has to be. I know you can't call it on TV, but this is probably going to be the main event. They'll be waiting for Excalibur to do his bit. So I just think it'll be, I think they'll be told, if anything, right, you have to really lay something out here because you've got a certain amount of time in which to do it. You can't really freewheel. So I've got more faith in Danielson and Jericho, of all wrestlers, to like lay out something much better than they did and much hotter. The crowd will be a lot fresher as well. It's not deep into these sort of absolutely like marathon pay-per-views. So every indication that my head says this should be a much better match, get it right this time. You probably will. I mean, who am I to doubt bloody Bryan Danielson? But my heart and my gut can't really get excited because the first one was so, oh yeah, the work's really good, I guess. That's like, it's like they had the Randy Orton match. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, work's good. didn't care about it. It wasn't that exciting. But, you know, obviously the work on some kind of coaching level was really, really good. So, yeah, it just needs to be a lot tighter for me.
Before I get your thoughts, Hamlet, so you structuring this show, Jericho Danielson main event, Mox Guevara to open, or how would you do it?
If I'm structuring the show, yeah. Wilborn, pyro goes off.
Runs from that. You know what I mean?
How about that?
And then, boom, let's go, wake up, get a flash of light.
I'll start again,
right? So, boom, let's go, ignite, get a flash of light.
Where's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in this? Why can't I see them? Who's in this promotion?
Yeah, at least let him get to the start, because it goes, you know, it's all about the boom. Adam Cole comes out, he sits on commentary, look at me. It's like, God, that was good.
That was so good. Oh, man. And then the it was like shrouded in darkness. And then, so, boom, let's go. Bend the boom, light the view. And run and out, you know what I mean? And then you've got all the pyro going off. And then, to answer your question, wow, dang it. You make my heart sing. And I think it'll start with Moxie versus Guevara first, actually, because if they that downward line was, well, looks like there's been enough intrigue about the gossip, because like the same amount of people cared about it ultimately as do every single week. So if you want to make that line go up, or I think the aim at this point is for it to go flat, is to build up Jericho Danielson as your main.
You don't have to say, I'm watching now. You've just lived the owning of the show.
Well, and I certainly won't be staying up to watch this one. Jesus Christ. Have you seen the rest of the card? No.
I haven't.
None of us have.
Yeah. I'm more interested, and again, this is because I just was like bored rigid by the first match. I'm way more interested in like the Danny Garcia element of this match. Like, I think Danielson's going to win, so I'm less fussed about the result. Like, Danielson making the final of the tournament is better. It's how they do whatever they're going to do. Is Garcia going to hold back the JS from interfering rather than physically attacking himself? Is he going to botch interference? But did he botch? You know, and is that going to lead to the result? Like, any way you go with that is fine, because we can see what they're doing. Him, like, he's been so overt. I was a bit unmoved by, like, out of nowhere, he's my favourite wrestler, but, like, I kind of got sucked in last week.
He's been saying it on podcast the entire time.
Yeah, but that match was so good last week, and then Jericho's just, like, shock of Danielson putting the belt around his waist, and the involvement of Al Wheeler Utah kind of having to be front row for it. I loved how that all played out.
Does the numbers game work as well? I'm just trying to divvy people up. So
that'll be a brawl.
So I've got...
Oh, yeah.
Hager and Claudio cancel each other out. Let's just say, for argument's sake... Yuta and Daddy Magic, right? Moxley's not involved because he's getting ready for, or he's been in action or whatever. Regal can take on Cool Hand Ange, because that'll be cool. That's right, that leaves Garcia. No? Have I missed anyone out here?
You've got Sammy Guevara, who was with Moxley, so the two of them could have already cancelled each other out, so then you've got Garcia. Is that right? Yeah, is Garcia just an extra?
I think so.
That would be right, wouldn't it?
I count them on my fingers here.
So he's the difference maker, and he chooses, say, not to make a difference, and therefore Danielson wins clean or something like that.
Takes the bat away.
Yeah, I'm just more interested, because with Jericho teasing on Rampage that he might want the Ring of Honor world title, and my own fantasy booking that he wants to win the pure title, which I just think is tremendous patter. Like, and that's the pay-per-view match. That's got to be full gear as Jericho, Danny Garcia, even if they've not officially fallen out.
For Jericho.
Yeah, like, one of the best years of his career. How is he making this happen? Who's he fought again? Forget about that. Chris Jericho's had an amazing year. He has had a good year, though, to be fair.
A fantastic year.
Yeah, he has had a really good year. He's had a really good slate of opponents, but he's had a really good year. So I think that's the match, the Garcia match, but I would like them to still be loosely on terms. I don't want the flash turn yet. I want the more, the tension of it.
Danielson to win, though.
Yeah. It's just a better fight. Like, no disrespect to Chris Jericho in this respect, but it is, like, it's just a better final. The one that appears to be the obvious final, as great as shock results are sometimes, is the better final.
Two baby faces going against each other when you know for a fact that MJF is lying in wait just makes so much more sense.
And that, like, that Revolution match, like, kicked ass. And the fact that they then
kicked each other in the face.
Yeah. And then, yeah. When they then got together.
Oh, my God.
It was rooted in the idea that one day you want to see them fight again. So
double pump, I like it.
For the belt is the right place.
Jump.
I will bite on a potential Sammy Guevara pinfall tonight. I believe, obviously, like both of you, I assume, it's going to be Moxley, Danielson. A tale of two promos on the road to, I thought. I mean, one was obviously one of the best promos of the year, and then you splice that in with... classic archive footage of Mox, and you think, oh my God, like, he's the only thing that got me through the pandemic. And unfortunately, Guevara is just in a hallway shouting about stars from Dave Meltzer. But
Stupid.
But yeah, how do you see this one playing out?
I think the heat for this is going to surprise people.
Out the ass?
Out the ass, of course. It's out the ass. Like a skid mark. Get out the ass. The idea here is that AEW fans are knowledgeable about the backstage goings on. I know Twitter's a bubble, but, you know, this the Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara spat.
It was a big story for a
big
week.
Big story for about one week. But I think people will remember it. And as I said, like, it's almost a shame that this is almost certain to open the show, because I pitched on the Rampage preview, like, reduce those incredible John Moxley Boiler Room promos from 90 seconds to 10 in just one single threat. John Moxley down the lens saying, Sammy, I know what you said about my friend. A receipt's coming your way. I would just love that. Just the sinister threat of that one sentence, and it's all it needs. But I think even without that, people will know that Moxley's got a dual motive here. He's not just fighting for a title shot. He kind of wants to kick Sammy's ass for what you said about Eddie. They might even bring it up on commentary just to catch people up at home. But I think everyone in the arena will know that there's an additional tension between these two now. And even if there wasn't, you've got the best, even if there wasn't an awareness of it, you've got the most over babyface, the best babyface of the century probably at this point, and the best wrestler in the world, and a beloved folk hero and top star all at once. They're meant to be separate, but Moxley's everything, versus just this punchable twat.
Could Kingston corner Mox? Because he's got Tay in his corner.
That might have been built on the Rampage, where, then again, you got the implication of, I know, if Tay or JAS do anything, Eddie Kingston's there. No.
Yes,
Stay away from that completely, so I wouldn't do that. But yeah, I just think that people will be really up for this, because the anxiety of Guevara winning is bad enough. Perfect babyface versus heel dynamic. Like an indirect, inside the backstage tension. And I just think this will be great and loud.
Yeah, it feels like just a nailed-on Moxley victory. So it should be as well, I think. But AEW hasn't shied away from trying to use a bombshell for buzz lately. Like, I think the Punk-Moxley experiment was a failure, but drove tons of conversation and tons of aversion of interest. You know, regardless of, like, your own thought of the story, there was, like, instead of a one-week conversation, it became like a 2 and 3 mm-hmm. or 4 week one in the build-up to a pay-per-view. So it wouldn't be the first time recently they've just made this absolute bombshell call that completely blows people away and makes people rethink. And, like, makes you ask questions, good questions, of, like, wow, if I didn't think about that, what else have I not thought about? All these things have a knock-on effect to the rest of the card, because it reminds you that, like, the foundation can be shaken without, you know, when you just, because you assume these things. But, Moxley losing this tournament, unless they have an unbelievable plan for him going forward, which they might, he said last week, one of the big things that kind of got forgotten because his speech about getting everybody back on track was amazing. The start of it was talking about, like, how pissed off he was to have lost to CM Punk. He was trying to keep kayfabe alive in that moment. I've lost a wrestling match and I'm really pissed off about it, and I'm going to fix that by winning my way back to the title. If he loses again, almost better to lose in the semi-final and be like, what's going on with John Moxley, than just another Lex Luger big match loss, which could be coming his way at Grand Slam next week. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be the talking point this time tomorrow if he was to. But
the beauty of that is just because, I mean, you could argue, probably it wouldn't work, but just because Sammy wins doesn't mean Danielson automatically wins, because you could have the intrigue of Jericho versus Guevara. I still think it's going to be Danielson, obviously.
Yeah, it's like, well, this is it. Like, you think, oh, it's going to be Danielson Mox. You've got this lined up. And then if even one of those goes the other way, all of a sudden, this tournament's all up in the air again. And that can be fun. That doesn't, just because it's not maybe what we picked. What was I going to say about Sammy as well? The only other thing as well I will say about Sammy Guevara, if he was to win, in the hugely unlikely event he was to win, last week, like, and I'm not just saying this because I felt it back to my point that things will be fine regardless of how this Punk Elite thing plays out. Now would be the best possible time, possibly ever, in AEW's history since inception, for Tony Khan as a booker to show faith in some, not new guys, but Sammy is effectively a new guy because you've had to start again with him. Darby could do with starting again. This should be an era where a bunch of new guys have really given the faith of runs and pushes. So even if Sammy loses here, they should be thinking about what's next for him too, not just the token guy being laid up for Moxley to advance past. It's absolutely time to start thinking about the ramifications of the winners and the losers again, because it's all a bit more, it's just kind of winners go forward and losers fall away for a bit. And I think it's, I don't like, it just feels to me like the right time for a bunch of people to be focused upon rather than the same sect of headliners.
The only other match we know is confirmed for tonight's show is Toni Storm, and it was going to be Hikaru Shida. I believe now it's Athena taking her place.
Good angle to write her out.
Versus Britt Baker and Serena Deeb.
Yeah, I don't really know what they're playing at here, if I'm being honest.
Or the women's division, or this match.
Well, everything, basically. I don't necessarily know why it exists. Obviously, the idea should be to build up challenges for Toni Storm. I just feel like there's an angle alert hovering over this.
Over this?
Sorry, I just had to take a shot and take a breath.
Tournament of Women's Champions.
Tournament of Women's Champions, another tag team match I'd like to do. Jamie Hayter to cost Baker, and then Athena gets a shot at Storm, which is failing up. It just feels like a weird combination of women in a match that, for no belts, there's no purpose. And it's not like they're building anything between... say, goddamn match again. Toni Storm and Britt Baker, and then Deeb and Athena, and they do the tag team match preview. I'd have struggled to determine why this match exists. There is no tag team division. It would be convenient if the champion would get beat. Oh, challenger has emerged or something. I just don't know why this exists. The quality should be good. The women are really wrestling at the moment, like they've got something to prove. Deeb and Storm. There is potential there,
yeah.
In terms of previewing a match between them two, very like anti mirror match energy, which is very good indeed. It's too early to be doing this pretty boring New Japan WWE style device to set up a challenger. So I don't know why Deeb's in it, because I think she's perfect first pay per view level challenger. I just don't know what they're doing here. And I'm not that intrigued to find out, because the last 3 years have happened and I watched it happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, again, we always say this, we love her. This is no mark on her, but I wouldn't be surprised if Toni Storm and Athena win and they celebrate and Athena goes to walk up the ramp and then Nyla Rose jumps Toni Storm.
I know, Nyla Rose needs to be a babyface. She'd be a babyface like a year ago. She's so over on Twitter. She's good.
She's also in a tag team. Like the belt, like the it's her and Marina's face still as well, kicking around on Dark and Dark Elevation. The hater. The hater element of this was the bit, wasn't it? So yeah, I think the angle, you're right with the angle Claxon, because whereas it once would have been them two in a tag team together and now it's Deeb instead, hater's probably going to stop. Like if the heels were to win, then theoretically the person that got the winning pinfall suddenly kind of like drops into being number one contender. So it would kind of make sense that hater stops Britt winning so that Deeb gets that instead. But then in order to do that, you've kind of got to have your babyface down on the canvas for a long time, haven't you? Like hater stops... Britt Baker, Britt's like, what are you doing? And then in the meantime, Serena Deeb's like, all right, I'll pin her instead. Babyface looks like a complete loser waiting to be pinned for these heels to get it together. So, I don't know. I think the heels win, but it's a bit, like, the hater, Britt Baker, is the interesting element of the story, and they don't really have anybody that feels like a proper contender. It feels like there's like an obligation to having a women's title program. Like, Toni Storm's not in an angle with anybody. You know, she's not got any sort of hostilities with anyone. It's just like, well, can we line up an opponent while we're telling the story with Baker and Hayter?
Only one thing to do then.
It's time to play the game!
What game's that, Michael Sidgwick?
The game that we're about to play, the rules of which will follow, is, well, this is Ladies' Night, and I'm thinking new word in Nader.
Had a week off last week, but it's back. Thank you to Adam Blair, as always, for keeping tabs on all this and keeping us... posted as to who wins what.
Adam Blair, who's going to be at Grand Slam.
Really?
Is he?
He is, yeah.
Lucky bastard.
Ladies' night sign in the crowd, perhaps. Get questioned off the stewards. What the hell's that?
Yeah, you're a poivon. What culture wrestling podcast sign? If you can be asked.
Put our names on a sign.
I want to try and find the... there we go. I was trying to find his Twitter there to find the latest scores. What's this guy doing, tweeting about things that aren't us? Hang on one second. in the interim, Hamflip, why don't you go first? You've had mixed success in this tournament.
I won once.
Get my phone out, you asshole.
Get your phone out, asshole. They're going to add more. We're going to get the Tony Khan graphic drops before this. So I'm going to suggest that this is a return to form for the division, and it goes 1 hour, 11 minutes and 8 seconds.
I don't need to see 40 minutes of Chris Jericho. God damn it. He's had a good year, but... So 1 hour.
Yeah.
Say it again.
1 hour, 11 minutes, 8 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Hamflett, you're a score of 1 and 6 right now.
With a 1 and 6.
Sige, 4 and 5, and myself, 6 and 4. Sige, do you want to go next or do you want me to go next? I don't mind.
Yeah. I don't mind. So, just do the tally.
They're mixing it up.
It's a bit now.
They're mixing it up, aren't they? What was the last one we played? It was 36 minutes into the episode.
I mean, well, and then obviously last week was whatever it was, our first hour stuff, wasn't it? Maybe we should put them over for a little bit of attempting to change up the narrative with the women's division. Maybe AEW deserve a bit of credit as a result of this game for being needed.
We'll get credit when they do 2 women's matches.
Well, yeah.
And now with 4 top male stars gone, now's the time to really take the women seriously, yep. But regardless, you go.
Yeah, let's go first hour again.
Oh.
35 minutes and 49 seconds.
Okay. I'm going to go first hour again. This is a new slot. That's how it works. I'm going to go for... Right, okay. I'm going to try and do some time laying out in my head. I'm trying to timekeeper. Time out the show. Right.
This is, by the way, people wondering what we're trying to exactly time here. It is the first note of the women's theme that hits.
Yes, yeah. with the idea being that it was meant to satirize how predictable and obligatory and an afterthought the women's division booking was.
But it was pretty much 1 hour, 20 minutes every week for 2 years.
And after the match, the other champion, if Jay Cargo wrestled,
yes.
Thunder Rosa would do a post-match promo or vice versa. Like they would bottle it together in a little section.
So, there's some conducting here. The maestro. The lawnmower. Sorry, okay. Boom, let's go ignite. You know what I mean? Wild thing. That'll take us to about 2 minutes of ring introductions. Mox versus Sammy. Mox's matches don't go that long, but it's a tournament, so it might go a little bit longer. You really want to put Sammy over as well, because you need to start getting stars again. 12 to 14 minutes. I'll take it to about 20.
Andrade is going to try and recruit 10.
Backstage promo. Out the ass. I'm going to go for 31 minutes.
Oh, I like this.
And 32 seconds.
Right, so you've got a real chance here. Basically, anything after an hour is all yours.
Well, you say that, but I have it on good authority. Like, someone earlier on contacted me and wanted to play just 1 week, not least considering that they might not feature as regularly in the future. Like, Stax has asked if he can play Ladies' Night this week.
Hey, guys.
He's just been desperate again.
For a split second, I was like, who on earth is he picking here? And then as he, I was like...
Well, Stax, obviously. And then he's just
walking the door.
I was like, oh, what are you doing? I got him.
For anyone who just doesn't bother with WWE at all, we struck up, there's a fourth podcast guest.
Yeah.
It's Stax, who wrestles under the name Stax.
Yeah, hello there, my name's Jan Lorenzo, but I'm all Stax.
On the WWE production, NXT 2.0, so we've got exclusive access to
kind
Stax.
Kind of a forbidden door podcast here,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
He's walked through the forbidden door.
So Stax, you want to play, what's the name of the game, Stax?
Well, it's the ladies' night. What a night! You know what I'm going for? I'm
going to
go for it.
2 seconds after.
Right down, Sid, right down. Stark's supposed to play properly.
Hang on, what have to go for again? I don't want to literally tread on his dick, but I got a joke.
So, Stax. Sorry, Stax.
What have we go for again?
Emma Hamflett's gone for 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 8 seconds.
I can't do
that. We're going to do that one, okay? I'll go for 1 hour and 20 minutes dead. That's when I think they're going to come out, and you know what? I think these girls are going to put on way out of a show.
What are your thoughts on AEW in general, Starks?
I think... I think they got a bit of trouble right now. But, you know, as I said before, we all have to deal with empty-headed f**ks in our life. And so...
Wrestling is telephone, telegram, tele-wrestler. Have you got any friends in the AEW locker room that you could be getting this sort of information from?
You know what? I've been talking a lot to Lee Moriarty, surprisingly. You thought I was going to go one way, you go... I go boom. Hey, Lee Moriarty, how you doing?
One more question while you're here, Starks. I know you have to go.
Yeah, I got a plane to catch.
I've got a question for you. I just can't really figure it out yet. I do have a pressing question right now.
Don't worry. I don't think Starks might need some time to figure out answers. Don't worry, mate.
Hey, what are you saying here?
Right, Starks. Who should be the next TNT champion?
Oh, big question. I got to go with Action Bronson. I really got to pick that guy. Look at the f***ing size of him.
Can you stop, please, Stacks, with this language? It's a lot of work you
what
give me here.
What drinks are they serving on Tony D Airways?
Oh, Sonny D.
That's why he's hyped up. That's why he got up.
You're not drunk.
Okay. Bye, Stacks.
Bye, Starks.
See ya.
See ya, Starks.
Bye, Starks.
Oh, he's such a character, isn't he?
I love him.
I still can't tell whether this is like, you know, when they're like, and now in the next season of The Simpsons, and only an alien that only Yoda can see. But I think he's getting over. He killed Tony D off on the NXT podcast. Starks has taken his spot. Sidge, of course... switching gears. Obviously, this is the sort of go-home show for Grand Slam. Matches at the Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe, sorry. Grew all that in there. We've got the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions.
Stadium. Who was this, Arthur? Why are you such a big ass? Huh?
But we've also, it's confirmed for next week, Swerve in Our Glory versus the Acclaimed. I thought they did brilliant to... Well, present themselves for any legal issues by having the Acclaimed cut off last week. But Swerve is so much better as a heel, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Caster would have looked like a bitch if he'd rapped about a single other subject, but you also had to get him on the show to capitalize on how great the performance was at All Out and to build the rematch. So basically, and you know what? I was in a bit of a weird vibe headspace last week. I didn't give Tony Khan the flowers and say, you know what, as a booking maneuver, that was deft.
Mm-hmm. It's very special. I like that a lot. Do you have the Acclaimed action this week? Do you have, it's sort of, again,
Acclaimed beating two jobbers, even though they're already the number one contenders in effect, seems pointless. Seems exactly the way we'll go, actually.
I was going to say, I was thinking, yeah, that seems like such a waste of time. Yes, it's happening.
Here I have a lot of butcher boots on.
There's been so much of that, which is wasteful in when it comes to like the amount of wrestlers there are for the amount of television time they've got. So I hope not. I think this is absolutely video package treatment. I will give AEW credit for this lately. I know that for the longest time, it was like the Chris Harrington graph rule, wasn't it? It was like, these three things draw numbers and nothing else does, so you will just get a lot of these three things. But they've been like, using video packages, they've lingered a little longer on some of the moments, some stuff's been allowed to breathe. So a video package and a good one at that is absolutely fine.
Do what you put on the road to. I thought it was perfect, like 2-minute encapsulation of everything that's just happened.
Dare you, and this would be the first time I can remember they've done it with a tag team one since the Bucks and Page and Omega, so this would put such great heat on the tag belts as a Jim Ross sit down.
Yes.
Because we've always said this, like, the tag belts matter when they're on the Young Bucks, and otherwise it's always like, yeah, whatever. Like, if Jim Ross is sat there in the room, the thing matters. So maybe try that and you get to see Castro.
Do it better than the Christian Cage and Jungle Boy one, though.
Yeah, that was a bit rubbish. But like...
What noise, Michael Sidgwick? Hey, this is a nice role reversal. What noise would Jim Ross make if he was scissoring one of the Acclaimed? It's not easy to look, is it?
2 seconds. 2 seconds. Holy s***, what's that? Ringo with big tits. He said it, not me.
Yeah.
The go home for Revolution, the Moxley Jericho weigh-in. He said it on Fight. I watched it. What's that?
Finally, it's a question that I
can maximize my minutes.
Sausage.
He said it, not me. He said it.
It's a question I think I know the answer.
Sizzle on my steak.
He said it, not me.
Oh, God. I can choose from my woodshed. I mean, he's dead. Not in the way that he's
Yeah. He's got Jim Ross's car.
Talk about his dick and balls.
Yeah. Question I think I know the answer to.
And his, yeah, I mean, his hands as well. Just there, come on.
See, I think I know the answer to this one. I'm going to ask it anyway. Could the Young Bucks go to WWE?
Maybe in about 2 years, because everything's possible, but not right now. They are under contract. Tony Khan's hardly going to say, you know what? Get yourselves away, boys.
Imagine.
And I know it's already been debunked by Dave Meltzer, but look, in 2018, the Elite were faced with a choice. This bold new adventure with this guy who might be a money mark, but actually, you know, he's actually got money. And or go to WWE and risk the cachet that you'd built as the ultimate DIY guys. They do not have the same value to WWE they did at the time. AEW's already happened. They're already kind of solid number two, well behind. There was an unknown quantity of, God, actual competition. It is what it is now. It's just a distant...
NXT UK existed because of World of Sport.
Yeah, you know, like. It's a distant number two now, so... And at the time, it would have been, right, kill the thing that takes a fraction of our market share away from us, which at the time was monumental to them. Now I think they've accepted that. Well, we've still got all of it, pretty much. So the Young Bucks do not have the same value. But the idea that WWE wouldn't take them like that, or the idea that they would have to say, oh, can you ask your mate if she fancies us? Like everyone did in the early part of secondary school, is an absolute fabrication. At this point, people need to realize how legendary and how big of a star the Young Bucks act is. They wouldn't have to send out feelers. They could just quit and say, give me the best offer you have, Paul, and he would give them a big offer. No need for this. Does your mate fancy me? Yeah, of course he does.
What's so cool about this as well, it's the, like, you could apply the old Scott Hallism, like, it's show business, not show friends. It's like, yeah, but their mate's there as well.
Yeah.
And he made the jump, so it's both. It's show business and it's show friends. Like, they've got immediately somebody that is now, and we said this all along, Cody Rhodes is such an important hire. Because
they don't know if they're mates.
Well, yeah.
But they've got, like, Ricochet, they've got mates there.
There's a proof of concept in the hiring of him and then the subsequent pushing of him that, like, yeah, things won't be a disaster if somebody was to jump.
And exactly, and that, you know, the Cody jump is one thing. I think if you then get Cody and... you know, anyone, but especially the Young Bucks, that's a clear and open path of, like, there is a road going completely the opposite way.
This is a two-sided thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you reckon, Hamlet, regarding Generation Me popping up on NXT?
It's a bit like when somebody just wants to talk stats. In
NXT, give over.
Like, you gotta learn the...
get some fundamentals. Slow it down. Like,
what do you say about the Bucks' fundamentals?
Great fundamentals.
Wow, since we had that, I missed that.
I don't like stats talk when it's...
Hey, you say my name? Oh, sorry, Stacks.
It's a pub about stats. Football.
Oh, sorry, Stacks.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry to bother you.
The contract stuff is the answer. Like, it's... But, like, whenever you have that chat and it's like, well, no, because they're in a contract for... It's like, oh, well, it's not just a bit more fun to speculate for... Can we not just speculate for 5 minutes?
No.
like, the... Obviously, the... potential if there's any lawsuit or fallout or just people need to, like, step away for a while, and that's where they're contractually available. I'd love it. Like, I would absolutely love the Young Bucks just to see it. Same as the Cody thing. I just want to look at that. What's that look like?
You don't.
And I remain, and this is pro AEW, and I wish people would understand it. Not just you. Other, like, people on
Excuse
Twitter.
Me?
I wish people would understand that AEW will be fine without all your favourites, because they make new favourites, because that's what wrestling companies do.
That's a ridiculous take.
It will be absolutely
take.
Fine
absolutely
without
ridiculous
the
take.
I don't understand.
You
it.
Just
don't
said understand earlier it. Today across the desks, right?
Yes.
You absolute heads gone maniac. Your head has gone. And it sometimes goes in situations like this, and it's gone now, right?
Yeah.
Your head never goes as much as when AEW is under the gun.
Pandemic.
Go on.
Better than 2022, correct? Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Definitely. Right, okay. Dickhead, what was the best moment of pandemic era AEW?
Cody and Brody.
Okay, what was the second best? Full Gear 2020. The Young Bucks are celebrating with their friend Kenny Omega in the middle of the ring. They've just won the tag team championships. Kenny Omega is a month away from winning the world title. Hangman Page is lurking in the tunnel, not feeling elite. Boom. The two most important divisions in that company are centered around the elite. Everything else intersects and dovetails and wraps around. You said it.
Well, I mean, you just said all that.
No, you said it. You said the bad was better. So, kiss my ass. No, I'm just saying, it's not just the elite.
I get that.
It's not just the elite doing the cool elite things that they won't be quite able to do in WWE. Yeah. That storyline was the heart of... Yes, another thing you said. That AEW's best period was not February 2020. No. It was, in fact, the summer of 2021.
Yeah, the sign's saying Punk, fuck's sake. You see him?
Yeah, yeah. But, but they also...
He's the dollars and cents guy. He's the money
they
guy.
They also built all of it around
going, boom,
the side...
God, they, Adam Cole, baby!
You're arguing, you two.
I'm not a goldfish, sometimes I think...
It's Brian Danielson! Look over there!
It was, actually,
yeah.
You saying, before the Fightful Select story broke about CM Punk's and potential negotiations...
Yes.
Every week on this podcast, enjoy it, guys. I'm gonna be carrying cross for some reason because doomsday is coming.
Yes.
Enjoy this company while it lasts, because nothing will ever be this hot. One, very prescient, by the way.
Thank you.
Two, bit of a hypocrite, actually.
Stop fighting. Right, two questions, one for each of you. Number one, Michael Sidgwick.
Jesus Christ!
It's very quick. These final two questions.
Last one was quick.
This one is really quick. Trust me. Do you write about the Young Bucks at all in your book?
Yes, becoming all elite. Available wherever you live on Amazon.
And who's more likely to be in WWE, the Young Bucks or CM Punk?
You can't win.
Young Bucks.
Mm.
Say again.
More likely to be in WWE, not one or the other, but if you had to put odds on it, Young Bucks or CM Punk.
Young Bucks pamphlet's completely correct. And it's all in good.
Triple H, vindictive, what?
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Dynamite tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE.
I didn't say it.
And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture SN, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily...
What's Stack's Twitter handle? Don't check it. Just
someone like Channing Lorenzo, I believe. Or maybe Stacks_WWE.
No, it's Channing_WWE.
Oh, you get so confused.
You could go and follow him there. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. We had a lot of fun, potentially for the last time, reviewing NXT earlier on today. So go and check out the 2.0 review right now. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, our review of Dynamite tomorrow will drop into your feed as soon as it is released. But for now, this has been the Dynamite preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.